Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you had an awesome week. Last week, we were in a teaching from Luke chapter 5, and as usual, I got through about half the notes. So we're going to continue with that tonight, and we're going to try to pick up exactly where we left off. There might be some overlap, but I think I'm going to read the passage again first, because if you weren't listening, and again, I should say, if you want to hear any radio show, and especially if you want to hear last week's to go along with this one, if you go to www.giftofgraceministries.org, all the shows are archived there back through 2009. And there's also a lot of Bible studies and a lot of other audio teachings there. And since we're advertising, there's also a website that is www.oneinmessiah.website. That's oneinmessiah.website, which basically has all the teachings from my Friday night ministry, which is also called One in Messiah, and a lot of other teachings and information and ministry in Israel and so forth. And the podcast, if you have a podcast app, or go to any podcast app and search for Dr. Phil / Gift of Grace, you'll find about 800 podcasts going back to I don't know when. But the radio shows are there. The Friday night teachings are there. There's a lot of other stuff there. And there's also a YouTube channel, which is called One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries. I know that's kind of awkward, but it's One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries. I don't know how many YouTubes are there, but check them out. And then there's also now, for the third week, well, actually 3 weeks, I've done an internet TV show on a network called The Messianic Lamb. And it's only seen on lambnetwork.tv. It's lambnetwork.tv. And it's every Thursday at 4 p.m. Those then also go on a YouTube channel, but that's enough advertising for now. We'll talk about that more later. But anyway, Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to pull out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all the who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be fishers of men." So that's the passage. Now, last time we got down to, well, a couple of highlights. I don't want to redo the whole thing. But Jesus is preaching. There's a multitude of people pressing in to hear, because by this time he was a popular teacher. He was known. And he was known also for doing signs and wonders. And so people came to hear him. People were interested in seeing miracles. And so there was a big crowd. He preaches to the crowd from Peter's boat. He uses the boat as a pulpit for a while. But then he tells them, these guys who had been fishing all night and were cleaning their nets, to go out into the deep, the deepest part of the sea, the deepest part of the lake, which the Sea of Galilee is technically. And they had been working all night. They hadn't caught anything. And Jesus says to them, get into your boat and go out into the deep part of the lake and lower your nets for a catch. Now, these guys were very experienced fishermen. This was their occupation. And as I pointed out last week, Jesus tells them now to do their occupation, but for a very specific purpose. And we each have occupations to do, no matter where you work, no matter what you're doing, even if you're retired. You have an occupation that the Lord can use for you to bear fruit for the kingdom. And at this point, there was quite an important event about to happen. And so Jesus actually tells them to get in the boat and do what you guys have been doing all night. And Peter, being very vocal, Peter's always very vocal, doesn't hesitate to say, you know, we've been working all night and we haven't caught anything. You know, the Greek translation there means that they were extremely fatigued. All they wanted to do was finish cleaning their nets, and they wanted to go home and go to bed and maybe try fishing again that night. But Peter then says, because it's you, because you're telling us to do this, we're going to do it. So, you know, in our day, we would say he and Andrew step out in faith, but they have faith in what Jesus is telling them to do, that even though they don't really want to do it, number one, because they're frustrated, they've been doing it all night, and number two is by this time, they're so tired, they just want to go to sleep. But he says, well, since you're telling us to do this, we will do it. We will follow the command of the Lord. Now, when they worked all night, they had labored without him. They had labored as their usual human, in their usual human condition, with their usual human efforts, and nothing had happened. But now, he's going to renew their strength. They're more energized now, no matter how tired they were. Now they're more energized, and they're going to be sure to be successful because they obey, they follow what he has to say, and they believe what he tells them. Many times in the scripture, many times in the Old Testament, and then also in the book of Hebrews, it says that Abraham believed and it was counted as righteousness. And it also says Abraham obeyed and it was counted as righteousness. So here, they believe that Jesus is going to do something through this, and they believe in him, and they believe, and so they obey. So they obey what he has to say, despite what they think of it. When the Lord gives a calling like this, in your human nature, in your human experience, very often you say, that's not going to work. I've already been over there. I've already tried that. I've already done that. I've already done a similar thing, and it never worked. But they obey. And you can say that this counts also as righteousness. And they listen to the word of God literally, and they do the work that he tells them to do, which is would be great if we could all say that. We did the work he wanted me to do. So then at the end, you know, a second or two after your last breath, you can hear, well done, good and faithful servant, instead of hearing, I never knew you. Because you're going to hear one of those two things. And this going out into the deep is important because this is going to be a place of harvest. It's similar to the fields that they would have known because this wasn't mainly an agricultural society. But, of course, fishing was a big industry there too. And we find out that Peter was partners with James and John and their father Zebedee. So this is going out into a large area, a deep area. It's kind of like if you look at the world as a mission field and you go to where there's more population, there's a bigger number of people there. There's many lost people, as we would say in our time. There's many people that are searching for truth. There's many people that are involved in sin and arrogance and rebellion. They all live in the deep. And there's plenty of those people in shallow places too, but more of them live in the deep. He wants them to go into that deep mission field and put down the net. In other words, we go out into the deep part of the population, wherever that may be in your case, or in my case, or in our case. Everyone has a different deep that they're supposed to go to, but we put the net down because we're supposed to try to bring people into the kingdom. And while we do this, or as we're getting ready to do it, we might be tired, we might be frustrated, we might be discouraged, whether it's ministry that we've tried so many times and nothing's ever happened, or whether it's just a frustration and a fatigue just from doing the same thing day after day, and we get discouraged because we don't see any results. But we always have to keep in mind, like I always tell people, it's not about us. The kingdom is not about our comfort. Discipleship is not about making us comfortable and pleasant and always having a perfect environment around us and always feeling 100% wonderful. The kingdom never promises that. It promises that after you die, but it doesn't promise that in life. Jesus himself said, in this life you will have tribulation. He doesn't say you might, or sometimes you will. He says you will have tribulation, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. So he wants us to go into that deep, into that place where the harvest is, and put the net down. He compares the kingdom of God several times to a net. And that just picks up everything that's there. And for the first time in the scriptures, Simon Peter refers to Jesus as master. This is only recorded by Luke. And the word that's used there means a commander or somebody with authority who tells somebody to do something. And so Peter refers to him as master. It's a title of great respect. Peter recognizes that this is a very special person, that he's an excellent teacher. He seems to be sent from God. Peter agrees that he's going to follow, and at this point also obeys. And we don't know if he was listening to the teaching while he was cleaning the net. We don't know how far apart they were, but it sounds like it wasn't very far. He may have heard the teaching, might have been impacted by that. And of course, he already knew about Jesus. So he recognizes that this is someone who has authority, who has power, and he calls him master, which is the title he would use for authority and for power. And so he obeys. He has faith and he obeys. The two big things that we need to be into the kingdom, to be in the kingdom, and not only to be in the kingdom, but to advance the kingdom, to bring others into the kingdom, which is what we're supposed to be doing. So, as you see in the passage, they go out into this deep, and presumably they've already been out there. In fact, they were out there all night, and they put the net down, and they get this huge catch of fish, such that the nets are breaking. A huge catch. So they go from nothing to a huge catch. So at the command of Jesus, they follow and they bring in a huge catch of fish. You know, at the command of Jesus, they follow and bring in a huge harvest. And it's so big that they call to their partners for help. You know, in Matthew, I'm trying to remember what chapter it is now, Jesus tells his disciples that there's a great harvest that's ready, but the workers are few. And he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that more workers will come. And boy, what we've got in front of us today in the world, when you see what's going on and you see the great falling away that's taken place right over the last few years, there's a huge harvest out there and there's fewer and fewer workers. There's now a remnant of workers. And so we always need more workers in the field. We always need more fishermen in the deep part of the sea because the harvest is huge. But the harvest has to be brought in. The harvest always has to be brought in, and that's the key. So this kind of also reminded me as I was reading this and putting this together that in Christianity and what in the old days used to be called Christendom, and you know, in all of Christianity, there's so many different denominations. You know, it started out with one church, and then there were basically two churches, and then there were basically three churches, and now there's 58,000 different churches. In all these denominations of Christianity, we should be working together for a catch. We should be working together to bring in the harvest, not worry about bickering with each other and arguing with each other and debating with each other, and there's a place for that. But in order to advance the kingdom, we have to put that kind of stuff down. A lot of that is based on sincerely held beliefs, and that's fine. Those are important. And a lot of it is based on pride. I'm never going to be like them. They're never going to be as good as us. They're never going to be. A lot of it is based on pride, and we have to reach out together to advance the kingdom. If we presented a unified gospel and a unified calling with a unified discipleship, it would be amazing what would happen instead of arguing and bickering with each other. And at this point, it's kind of interesting because when they get this catch and the nets are breaking, they call to their partners. And this is what reminded me about all these different denominations. You know, we have partners. Regardless what church you're in, you have partners. They call to their partners. But what happens in our world, what's happened in, well, almost all of recorded, well, at least the last 1,000 years of Christianity. You know, I always like to point out to people that the only time there was Christian unity was in the upper room, just before the Spirit fell. But what happens in our time, instead of calling out to our partners, we say, oh, wait a minute, you guys use green boats? We only use blue boats. I'm not fishing with anybody who has a green boat. Oh, you guys wear hats when you fish? We don't wear hats. I'm not going to fish with somebody who wears a hat. Oh, you guys use that kind of net? We don't use that kind of net. We have this kind of net. This is the best kind of net. And so the partners, in quotes, argue with each other. In this case, the partners came to help. This great work was done with many people being involved at a very fundamental, basic level that took a lot of physical work. They had to mentally give their assent to helping. Then they had to physically do the job. Now here, of course, you know, Jesus on a practical level, this is another miracle. This is another sign. This is another awesome wonder. And here Jesus shows again his authority over nature. He shows again how he's the Lord of creation. They caught this huge number of fish when before they had caught nothing. He's the Lord of nature. He was in control of this situation. And they realized that this great work was done because of his authority. It didn't come from Peter and Andrew's abilities. It certainly didn't come from their planning. It didn't come from James and John sitting down with them saying, well, let's try this. You go over there, we'll go over here. we'll go with the Southern Time. Here, use the Southern Net. They didn't plan this out. In fact, they were not planning to do anything. They were planning to go home and go to bed. They didn't have anything planned. Presumably, they would go out the next night or the next day, whatever, but they had no plans. This happened because Jesus asserted his authority, showed his authority over nature as the Lord of nature. They cooperated, but they didn't cause the event, certainly. So it says everybody was stunned. They all were stunned. Nobody says, oh, good, we caught some fish. Nobody says, oh, great, we caught a lot of fish. We can sell them at the market, and, hey, we're going to make a good profit here. It says they were all stunned. Peter, Simon Peter, basically gets overwhelmed by this, and he kind of comes apart at the seams, and he realizes that something supernatural has happened. Nothing like this had ever happened to them. And when Jesus tells them, go there, put the net down, he knows something supernatural has happened at the word of the master. You know, it's kind of like Isaiah at the, in the beginning of chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah sees the vision and he says, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips and I live in with a people of unclean lips. Here, Peter falls down. He recognizes his status. He recognizes that he's unworthy. He's inadequate. He's a sinner. He's rebellious. And he falls down before Jesus and confesses his sin. Says, I'm not worthy that I should be here with you. I'm not worthy that you should be anywhere near me. Remember, this is still an Old Testament mentality. You know, you can't see God's glory and live. You can't approach God unless he tells you a specific way to approach. But the main thing was you can't see the glory and live. Isaiah saw the glory and said, wow, woe is me, because what he's basically thinking is I'm going to die now because I've seen the glory. Peter says, you have to depart from me, Lord, because I'm a sinner. I'm not even worthy to be here with you. I'm not even worthy to be here talking to you. And it says Peter, James, and John, they're so impacted by this that they leave everything. They leave their boats. They leave their fishing company, leave their normal way of life, and they follow him. And Jesus says, from now on, you're going to be fishers of men. You know, he's basically telling them that you are going to be now evangelizing, teaching about the kingdom of God, telling people about me, and bringing in a catch. And you're going to do great things now that you've decided to follow me. You're going to catch men in the net of the gospel. You're not just going to be out there catching fish in a net that you guys made. You're going to be catching men. You're going to be fishers of men and women in the net of the gospel. So Jesus, through this episode, shows them what's going to happen to them as they get sent out. This going out into the deep was where they were going to head. They had not only all of Israel, but the whole Mediterranean, Middle Eastern world that they were going to go into. And this was a re-energizing, I'm not sure that's a word, they were re-ignited. I'm not sure that's a word either. But anyway, they were energized, they were ignited, they were ready to follow him, and they were ready to do what they had to do. Just like was going to happen at Pentecost on a much bigger scale, on a more powerful scale, on a more demonstrative scale. But this was very similar to that because now they had this experience that was going to propel them. And they were willing to go out into the deep, not the deep part of the Sea of Galilee, but they were willing to go anywhere they were called to go in the world. All of them except John suffered martyrdom. But now they knew this was what they had to do. This was how they were going to expand the kingdom. They knew deep down inside what Paul's going to say later, a few years later in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 9. He says, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel, because that's what I have to do now. And oh, I know the music is playing. Wow. Well, that's going to finish up Luke chapter 5. So thanks for listening, and join us again next week on The Gift of Grace. So I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day and have an awesome week.